Now that President Bush has laid out his agenda for the second term, including an ambitious proposal to overhaul Social Security, lawmakers on Capitol Hill have to decide their own agenda for the next 4 years. Unlike the president, every member of Congress and most of the Senate will face re-election this term. Senate Democrats say they have the votes to stop the president's Social Security plans. They're also poised for new party leadership, as the Democratic National Committee will choose a new chairman next week. Once again, the frontrunner is considered to be the former governor of Vermont, Howard Dean. Democratic media consultant Dan Payne and Republican strategist Todd Domke join us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Nice to be with you, Scott.
Todd Domke, let me turn to you first. What are the rewards and the possible risks for Republicans on Social Security reform?
Well, obviously, if the older voters oppose the Bush initiative, that could be trouble for Republicans because, as we know, older voters vote in greater numbers. That's why Bush's assurance that the system would not change for those who are 55 and older was an important political point.
Dan Payne, are there risks for the Democrats in just seeming to be naysayers and not coming up with their own plan?
Well, the heart of the dispute is whether there is a problem with Social Security. And Democrats are arguing that there isn't, and the remedy that Bush is proposing isn't a good one in any event. I think both sides agree that there's enough money to go a good long time without making any changes, perhaps as far out as 2042. So the argument the Democrats are making is, why fix it if it ain't broke?
Until all the talk of Social Security reform began from this administration, it seemed to me the two voices that I remembered who had most clearly called for reform were Daniel Patrick Moynihan, former senator from New York, and Bob Kerry, former senator from Nebraska. This was a Democratic issue for a few years, wasn't it?
Scott, you're right. And that was in an earlier time when I think the Democrats were considering a lot of so-called new ideas, you know, like Gary Hart and others who felt that, okay, the Democratic Party has to be the party of reform. And now they are the loyal opposition, but they're too loyal just to being opposition as opposed to advocating new ideas. So Bush, who doesn't have to be concerned about his own reelection or anything, has to be praised a little, I think, for being brave enough to offer some bold ideas when it would be easy just to instead go with the safe political things.
Dan Payne?
Well, the genius of Social Security was that it was universal. Everybody paid in, everybody got something out. And now Bush is trying to come up with a formula that privatizes part of it. This is a high wire act, and there are no nets for him here. He needs Democrats. He cannot afford to do this in a way that makes this a Republican bill, because if people don't like it, they're going to take it out on the Republicans. And right now there are 45 senators who are on record as saying they are against the Bush plan.
Unless there's an upset or another scream, it looks like Howard Dean is going to be the next chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Dan Payne, he obviously knows how to raise a lot of money. He's a galvanizing and forceful figure. Is he a good choice for head of the party at this point?
Well, Howard Dean, just as when he was running for president, spoke and speaks now for hinterland Democrats. And that always makes Beltway Democrats nervous. And that was part of what Howard Dean experienced as a candidate. Once he got out in front, he began to get beat up by people in his own party. Dean says he's not going to run for president, and he is going to do what the party says it wants a Democratic chairman to do, which is to build the party, build it from the ground up, not the top down. He will be the first internet chairman of either party. We'll see the internet used much more fully in politics with Howard Dean as chair.
Let me say this, though, about Dean's fundraising ability. Yes, his campaign raised a lot of money through the internet from the anti-war activists. Dan says, you know, he has great support from the hinterlands, but let's be real. I mean, it's really from those, the academics and others who are very alienated, not necessarily because they felt outside the Beltway. The question will be, once he's chairman of the Democratic National Committee and thus an establishment figure, will those alienated people be hearing the sort of extreme statements from him that excite them enough to give to this bureaucracy? And if he instead becomes, like so many politicians do, more of an establishment type in terms of trying to do, as he says, what the party wants, then will the alienated become even more disillusioned, thinking, wow, even Howard Dean is co-opted by this party establishment?
President Bush both began and concluded his State of the Union speech with Iraq. After the kind of magenta blue on the voting fingers has faded and that euphoria has faded, and what if, you know, casualties become still a daily, weekly-to-daily part of U.S. life? Does that again threaten the political support the president has on this issue?
I think it does. I mean, people do realize that, you know, it's not as if the United States is fighting for its very survival. But at the same time, I think more people realize that we're going to be safer if we can change the Middle East, instead of it being, as they say, a breeding ground for terrorists, to make that a more hopeful place. So I think it's very hopeful, and I think the Joe Liebermans of that wing of the Democratic Party are right to say, hey, this isn't partisan, you know, this is what's best for all of us.
Well, you could almost hear the giant sigh of relief out of the Bush administration when the elections happened and there wasn't any extraordinary violence. The Bush administration was looking for any sign of progress because there hasn't been any in such a long time. So they've hyped this, and we're on our way, frankly, to a number of political events that fall out of this election. So it'll be a long time before we'll know whether or not Iraq can govern itself. But Bush, it seems, the president, excuse me, in his State of the Union, offered no timetable for the withdrawal of American troops. And it seems to me that some signal has got to be given to the Iraqi people, to the Middle East, and to the American people, who are still enormously unhappy with this war, that you want to get out, that you're not going to keep coming back for $80 billion, as they have several times, to keep this thing going.
Democratic media consultant Dan Payne, Republican strategist Todd Domke, speaking to us from WBUR in Boston. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Scott.
Is there a football game they're playing this weekend?
Go Patriots.